Look what the Word of God said. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 11. I'll try to be as brief as I can. I mean that. But I have got a heart that's so full. We need help. I want to preach this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Now I'm just using this for a springboard. What's the next three words say? We persuade men. This message was birthed in my heart. Brother Ralph read a text the other night in chapter number 4 of the book of Romans concerning Abraham. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but being, and then it used these words, fully persuaded. Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. Very few pastors are fully persuaded. Very, very few churchgoers are fully persuaded. Very few dads and very few moms are fully persuaded that what he hath promised, he is able to perform. The Word of God said he considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider their age. All he considers what God said. Can I tell you this morning? I just want to preach on this subject for a little while. I'm persuaded. Listen to what the Word of God said. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. I looked up the definition of the word persuade. It means to cause someone to do something through reasoning or an argument. It means to cause someone to believe something, especially after a sustained effort or to convince. It means to provide a sound reason for someone to do something. Think about that. The definition of the word persuade. To cause someone to do something through reasoning or argument. The first verse that came to my mind was, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So I don't know why preachers preach. I do. God called them. And God wants them to persuade men. He wants them to have an influence. He wants the Word of God to have an influence in lives and to persuade men, first of all, that they need Christ. There's only one way to heaven. I don't care how many ways this ungodly world comes up with. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to preach on the subject. I am persuaded. I'm going to give you a little outline here. Nothing fancy. It's a few words and a few verses. 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 And whatever God says in between, I'm leaving it up to Him. First of all, I am persuaded that men can be persuaded. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. If we're persuaded that men can be persuaded, then we'd be in the business of persuading men. But you know what? We're not persuaded that men can be persuaded. If we're not careful, we're jump on the Calvinist bandwagon. What's will be, will be. If God wants them to go to heaven, they'll go to heaven. God wants them to go to hell. Let me tell you something. God don't want nobody to go to hell. That might not be good English, but it's good preaching. God does not want anyone to go to hell. Amen. He gave His only begotten Son, and it's not His will that any should perish, who will have all men to be saved. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You can only be in the business of persuading if you're persuaded yourself. There's not too many pastors left that are persuaded that that book will get the job done. So they got to do this and do that and come up with this and come up with that and come up with this. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word of God. We never have to apologize for preaching and teaching what thus saith the Lord. I'm persuaded that men can be persuaded. Acts chapter 26, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. You say, how many believes Paul was a good man, a great man, a good preacher? What, was he wrong? Brother David, was he wrong to be standing in front of the king and trying to persuade him? Paul knew, beloved, listen, it fixed a lot of things in Washington if men would get Jesus in their heart. I'll tell you this. You tell me how somebody can have Jesus in their heart and be for killing the babies. You tell me how somebody can have Jesus in their heart and don't believe that if a man don't work, a man shouldn't eat. If a man's not able to work, that's one thing. But if a man's not willing to work, let him starve.
Amen. Amen.
That's what the Word of God said. I'm persuaded that men can be persuaded. Paul said, I would to God that thou wert not almost, but altogether such as I am. And then Paul said, accept these bonds. I'm not wishing the king to be locked up like I am, to be imprisoned like I am. But I wish the king knew the Jesus that I knew. I'm persuaded that men can be persuaded. Acts chapter 19, verse 26, moreover you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people. The Jews were upset because Paul come through and he persuaded them, Brother Steve, that it was not the sacrifice, it was not the law, but it was faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that would deliver them from their sin. That they were going to be saved. If they were going to be saved, it was going to be by grace, through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible teaches us, beloved, the law is our schoolmaster. The law is good, but the law is there to point us to Jesus. And they were mad at Paul. Because Paul was having an influence. He was reasoning with them from the Scripture. He'd go right in there to the synagogue where they were and teach and preach contrary to what they were teaching and preaching, because he knew the God of all grace and the grace of our God. The Bible said in Acts 18, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. I'll tell you this morning, I'm persuaded that men can be persuaded. I don't know where we're going this morning, but let me tell you something. I'm not as persuaded as I used to be, Brother Steve. Let me tell you why. Brother Steve, there was a time in my life you would have never caught me without a gospel tract in my pocket. There was a time in my life, Bob, when there were many more tears shed in prayer for unsaved people. There was a time in my life when my burden was greater than it is right now. So what do you mean, Pastor? What's going on? I tell you what's going on. We've cooled off. That's exactly right. That's why, beloved, listen, that's why we can go in a restaurant and have to ask our wife, you got a track in your pocket? I never used to have to ask my wife that. You say, Pastor, what's the matter with you? I tell you what's the matter with me. He's fixing me. This thing's broken. I realize I'm not as persuaded, Brother Michael, as I used to be. I used to knock on a lot more doors. I used to be interested in telling people about Jesus a lot more, listen, than I am right now. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we need to be looking for opportunities. If we're persuaded that God can use men to persuade other men, I'm persuaded that men can be persuaded. Second thing, I'm persuaded that God uses men to persuade other men. Watch this now. I'm not done. I'm persuaded that God uses men to persuade other men. We've already given you the example of Paul for the good. I believe God can use, listen, our teenagers, our graduates here today, you're going to encounter people that are going to be trying to persuade you. Some for the good and some for the bad. And it doesn't matter, beloved, what church you go to. It doesn't matter what job you work at. It doesn't matter what school you go to. Oh, you say, preacher, it's a Christian school. Everybody in a Christian school ain't a Christian. You say, pastor, what do you mean for the good? And he said, this was in the story of the rich man. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So according to that text, the rich man's in hell. He realizes he's got five brethren that are on the way. And he says, send Lazarus to tell my five brethren not to come to this awful place. And he said, oh no, I can't do that. He said, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, let me give it to you in East Tennessee language. If they don't believe the preacher, if they don't believe the Sunday school teacher, if they don't believe that godly mama, if they don't believe that godly daddy, they don't believe that godly papa or that godly mama. They wouldn't believe though one rose from the dead. They would not be persuaded. I'm persuaded that God uses men to persuade other men. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 43, and now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes, they followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. God uses men to persuade other men. Notice what the Word of God said in Romans 15, 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. You know what I believe? I believe it would be sad. It'd be sad, Brother Michael, if one day you just come up MIA, missing in action at Bible Way. It'd be a sad commentary if the pastor or the teacher or a deacon or somebody or several somebodies didn't say, Mike, what happened? We miss you. Down at the house of God. Is anybody with me? You say, preacher, what would you be doing? I'd be trying to persuade another man because I believe God uses men to persuade other men. This morning, let's move on in the message. The next thing I believe in the message is I believe God persuades men himself. God uses men to persuade other men. But God also persuades men that God himself, I'm persuaded that God himself can persuade men. You say, pastor, where did you get that? 2 Timothy 1:12, for which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know, and watch this word, not what I believe. Boy, a lot of Baptists, they're proud to swell up and say, I know what I believe. That ain't what Paul said. He said, I know whom. I'm going to tell you something right now. Paul did not believe what he believed because he had an encounter with Gamaliel. Paul believed what he believed because he had an encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. God himself is in the business of persuading men. Notice what the Word of God said. In Romans chapter 8, the Word of God said in verse number 38, for I am persuaded, this is Paul speaking, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you something right now. You're just about wasting your time arguing with a Free Will Baptist. Brother Ralph, God used Brother Jack, but who had to settle it? God Himself. Am I right, Brother Ralph? God Himself. What Brother Jack did is pointed Brother Ralph to the Scripture. He said, I want you to open that Bible. And he said, I want you to, every time you come across that word eternal and everlasting, he said, I want you to pay attention. And the God of heaven persuaded Brother Ralph that he had something that he could not lose.
Amen.
He had eternal life. This life is in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Pastor, I don't know why you brought that up. Because I'm just telling you, we're spinning our wheels a lot of times arguing with somebody about doctrine that only God is going to convince them of. Old Brother Mays Jackson years ago, he had a fellow, he was a preacher called Uncle Buddy. And Uncle Buddy was a Nazarene. And the Nazarenes believed that you could live above sin. In other words, you could live on such a level that you did not sin. And he said to Brother Mays one day, he said, Brother Mays, he said, you're sanctified and don't know it. And Brother Mays looked back at Uncle Buddy and said, yeah, bless God, and you're saved forever and don't know it too. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say there was two men that could get along, though they didn't believe exactly the same. They had both been to Calvary, both on their way to heaven, and it was going to take God to convince them one way or the other. One preacher said, the only way I've figured out how to live above sin would be to move in over a bar. I'm persuaded that God Himself can persuade men. Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. Bob, they believed God. They weren't hung up in materialism. That's why Abraham was willing to just keep moving. Honey, Sarah, it might be just over at next hill, honey. We're just going to keep looking for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't tied down. He didn't have his stakes drove deep down here. He was a man of faith. Now I'm going to give you the end. If you just got excited, you're probably a newcomer at Bible Way. Here we go. I'm persuaded that not many believers are fully persuaded any longer. Paul said, but we believe, but beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. I'm going to give you my heart right now. Abraham said, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. I just wrote down a few things. These are the things that used to accompany salvation. Days gone by, brokenness, humility. God, if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. God, would you take my hands and use my hands? Would you use my feet? Would you use my mind? Would you use my eyes? Would you use my heart? But God, you're going to have to do it. Y'all remember when Brother Jeff was here a couple weeks ago and he told the story about the shovel? I know that preacher well. He's the man, Brother Howard Robinson, that would go on visitation. He pastored in Bristol. He didn't have much, just an elementary school education. But boy, he could lay the Word of God on you. I'm telling you what's the truth. Brother Howard would open the door to his car when he was getting ready to go on vacation. He'd say, visitation. And he would say, "Lord, get in. Because if you don't go, there ain't no need me going." You say, "That old man's crazy." No, I tell you what, we're the ones that's crazy.
Amen.
We think we can do something without him. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing."
Amen. Amen.
Nothing. There was a brokenness that used to accompany salvation. There was a prayerfulness that used to accompany salvation. I will guarantee you, from the pulpit to the pew, if there was a record this week of the minutes spent in prayer, that we wouldn't be proud to put it on the wall up there. Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Paul said, "I'm persuaded better things of you," things that accompany salvation. The things that used to accompany salvation was a willingness. Things that used to accompany salvation was a faithfulness. Used to, you never even had to mention a Sunday night service or Wednesday night service, because when people got saved, they was there. You didn't have to, the pastor didn't have to fret, Brother Steve, about calling a revival meeting and wonder whether, when he called another choir to come, if there'd be more of them in that choir than there is in his congregation. Things that accompany salvation, a faithfulness. There was a fruitfulness. There was something else that accompanied salvation. That was a forgiveness. People didn't let the sun go down on their wrath. If we had words, Brother David, we'd get that fixed. Amen. And get it fixed quick. There was a joyfulness. There was an unselfishness. There was a readiness. There was a warm-heartedness. There was a consciousness. In other words, when we went to the restaurant, we were conscious, you know, that little girl or that young man that's waiting on us, he's going to spend eternity somewhere. Maybe I could say a kind word. Maybe I could invite him. How many folks have you invited to Bible school last week? Oh, yeah, we're busy. I said, how many? If we wrote it on the wall, would we be proud? There was a willingness. There was a warm-heartedness. There was a truthfulness. There was a kindness. And there was a witness. I've heard stories. How many of y'all have ever worked at the Eastman? Either you worked there or you do now. Raise it up there high. Have y'all heard some of them stories where some of them old boys got saved and they went back in there and started holding prayer meetings? And they went back in there. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe the CEO of the company could have said, "You can't do that." I believe they'd done it anyway. Because they're just wide open for Jesus. What's it turned into? Here's what accompanies salvation today. Listen to me carefully. I'm talking about people. I'm not judging them. But they will tell you, "I know I've been to Calvary. I know I have been born again. I know that my name is written in heaven." Here's what accompanies salvation today. Half-heartedness. Cold-heartedness. Sleepiness, worldliness, haughtiness, callousness. I'm going to tell you something. You go very far down this road, you're going to get hurt. David Jones, you're going to get hurt. Pastor, you're going to get hurt. Brother Steve, you're going to get hurt. But dear God, help us not to get calloused. Help us to keep our heart tender before God. Help us to be able to pray like Jesus did, hanging on an old rugged cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." God promises in His Word in Isaiah 55 that His Word would not return void. If we was fully persuaded of that, we'd be sharing His Word. God promised us, "Call unto me." I believe that's Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." If we were fully persuaded of that, we'd pray. Listen, I'm not fussing at you all. If you can't tell, honey, God's doing a work in this preacher's heart.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I want God to light that fire under me again. I want God to help me. I think back to those days, beloved, when God saved me. And for two solid weeks, I didn't even know my feet were touching the ground. And I was telling everybody how good God was. And you know what I know? They believed it. We run into a guy yesterday, didn't we, Brother Jason? He said, boy, I can feel the presence of the Lord. That's what I want in my life. I want somebody, when you just talk to them, to be able to experience the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. Boy, we've done good. It's only 20 after 12. I've been preaching to 12:30 the last few weeks. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. Anybody know what it says? Let me give it to you. They that sow in tears. Now, Abraham was fully persuaded. We're not. Charity, we're not. We're not. If we was fully persuaded, the Bible said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing,
amen,
bringing his sheaves with him. God has broke my heart. God said, Pastor, it's got to begin with you. You see, let me borrow your Bible, Brother Steve. Turn to Revelation chapter 2 before you let me borrow it. Thank you, brother. Revelation chapter 2. I want to read to you and we'll close. Laura, if you'll get us a song, honey. If you girls want to sing one, that's fine. Brother Ralph, you don't mind, do you? Amen. They're prettier than you are anyway, Brother Ralph. Here's what it says. I want to say this before I read the text. Brother Sam, there's so many good things about Bible Way. There's not a place, Brother Rick, on this earth I'd rather be than right here in the center of God's will at Bible Way Baptist Church. My mind goes back. Brother John was teaching Sunday school one morning. I may not get it exactly right, Brother John, but you said something like this: we can do better. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I know I can do better. I can be more sensitive to my Lord. I can spend more time praying. I can be more conscious of the souls that I meet every day of my life. Revelation chapter 2. If you will, open your Bible there. Read this with me. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus. Now listen to me. I'm not changing the Bible. But this is your pastor's heart this morning. I hope that you've been able to sense your pastor's heart. I believe this could just as easily say, unto the angel of the church at Bible Way, write. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. How many's glad he's still walking in our midst? He said, I know thy works. He does. And thy labor. And thy patience. How thou canst not bear them which are evil. I'll tell you something right now. As long as this pastor's breathing a breath of God's air, there's not going to be a sodomite come in here and play an instrument or sing in the choir. They sit there and listen to the gospel. They're not joining this church. As long as I'm breathing God's air, he said to the church at Ephesus, I know thy patience. Thou canst not bear them which are evil. Long as I'm pastor of this church, I'll preach against adultery. I'll preach against stealing. I'll preach against fornication. I'll preach against pride. I'll preach against lust. You say, who do you think you are? Just a Bible preacher. The Bible's against all that. He said, thou hast tried them and say they're apostles and are not. has found them liars, has borne, has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, has not fainted. A lot of people around here, Brother Steve, ain't fainted. You need something, you can count on them. They're right there. They're precious. We couldn't do it without you. Now, Brother Steve, you underlined this in your Bible. Why'd you do that? Because it was important. Verse 4 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because I have left thy first love. If I could speak to a congregation of people, and a congregation of people would be honest, there'd be multitudes that would say, you're right, Pastor. My first love ain't what it used to be. I used to enjoy reading this Bible. I couldn't wait. I thought about Bob, and I don't know what the situation is now, but when you first got saved, you would tell me you was reading this book and reading that book and reading this book. You could not get enough of the truth. And I don't know where you are now, but God knows, and you know. We didn't have to be begged to go to church. We didn't have to be begged to pray because we loved Jesus. We didn't care whether anybody saw us or not. Somebody say amen right there. And some of you, you say, well, Pastor, I don't even know what a first love is. If you get saved, you will. If you get born again, you'll know what a first love is. Now watch this. Here's the cure. We leave our first love. The first thing God said to Brother Ralph is remember. Brother Ralph, I rejoice with you when you've testified, when you saved, brother, that youth choir. And I rejoice with you, even though I wasn't there. I could see it on your face. I could sense it in your heart. It's real. You were there. God said, remember. The first step to getting that first love back is remember. Remember. Bob, as long as I've got any memory at all, I'll never forget. Boom, 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 boom. And I don't think he cared if I was asleep. He knocked loud enough to wake up the dead. And I opened that door. He said, I've got to talk to you. I said, I know. Come on in. See, I thought he would be saved that morning. And I was so let down, so disappointed. I knew God was wringing that heart out. Remember. Therefore, from whence thou hast fallen. Beloved, listen. I'm looking at faces this morning, but I can't look at hearts. God's looking at your heart, but I'm just looking at faces. Some of you are remembering. Some of you are already being honest. I've fallen. I don't love him the way I used to. If you love somebody, you spend time with them. Say amen right there. If you love somebody, you don't have to be begged to spend time with them. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. And look at that next word. What's that next word? And? Let me ask you something. Is he talking to sinners? Brother Moody, Brother Mike Moody, and Joy and Bob, as far as I know, every night I was at the tent meeting, y'all was there. How many times did we hear Brother Ralph say in the last 3 weeks, it's got to start with us. It's got to start with us. It's got to start with us. The Bible said it like this. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. And then he said this. Repent and do the first works. I would use the word right there. Repeat. If it was right then, Brother Larry Stallard, how many years ago were you saved, brother? 30-some. What year was it, Brother Larry? 1980. I saved 7 years after you, brother. I saved in 87. Brother Larry, go back there. Sweet, wasn't it, brother? Don't you find yourself, brother, and I'm preaching to me and you both, don't you find yourself sometimes it ain't as sweet as it used to be? We've had a few hard knocks along the way, ain't we, for one thing. And for another thing, we just get sidetracked. Somebody help me. So return or repeat. Just do it again. Do what you used to do. He said, or else. I don't know about you, Brother Steve, I do not like ultimatums. Do you, Cindy, say, Steve, you mow the grass or else? I can just hear that, can't you, coming out of that sweet woman's mouth. Amen. I know what I would say to him. Or else I'll get Chloe to do it. Amen. How many of you do not like ultimatums? I don't like them. You like them, Anthony? I didn't think you did. You like them, Brother Mike? You like them, Brother Rick? Do you get them, Brother Rick? Getting personal now. Amen. I better move on. Or else. What'd he say? Now this is God speaking. Or else I will come unto thee. What's that next word? Do y'all remember when Samson messed up, right? With Delilah. And the word of God said, Brother Gary, that he got up, shook himself off, and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. It happened that quickly, Brother Steve. Overnight, he thought, man, I'll take him. And what happened? They took him. Gouged his eyes out. He's grinding now at the mill. I'm telling you in a heartbeat, youngins, we can shake this message off and let it roll off of our back. But in a heartbeat, God said, or else, I can come and remove the candlestick and do it quickly out of that place. I'm through preaching. I love you all. God got something wonderful for us if we would just be, Brother Wayne, fully persuaded. Fully persuaded that what God hath promised, He is able to perform. Father, thank you this morning for my precious people. Thank you, dear God, this morning for the message. Thank you for the warning. God, would you forgive me? Lord, as I bowed in prayer yesterday evening, called out the names of this congregation, Lord, of people that I know are not saved. God, how you broke my heart, realizing, Father, that many days went by, many weeks have gone by, and though I carried a burden, I never called their name. Lord, you said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and cease and to pray for thee. Oh God, help us today. Lord, I know the hour's a little late. I was hoping to get done earlier. God, this might be the last message I ever preach. I know I've minded you, Lord. God, would you help people to mind you this morning? Would you help someone to return, to repent? Get that fire glowing in their life again. Would you help that person that's lost to make that first step to Calvary? Just come. Trust Jesus today. Let's stand together.